right. So, I got a story for you boys. All
Ooh,
right, you ready?
okay.
Yeah,
Let me hear it.
I gotta lay the groundwork a little bit,
Yep,
give
do your
some
thing.
context, but we're gonna
Let me
get
hear it.
there.
Break it down.
So the neighborhood I live in is huge. It's 300 acres. There's thousands of
Jesus.
units. There's a ton of people. They call it like a city within a city. And there's just a lot of people here. A lot of people come in and out. So I moved into my place maybe a year and a half ago, and I get old mail from previous tenants all the time in my apartment.
Classic,
And just
classic.
like, yeah, whatever. But the one that I get the most is for this lady named Eileen. I get
Oh,
Eileen's
come
mail a
on,
lot.
Eileen.
Yeah, the very same.
The very same.
get her mail all the time, and I always put in the outgoing mail, just so it gets back to her. But I know Eileen's not here.
No, she's not.
I see the mail. It's for the library. It's for the opera, and
Oh, crazy.
it's like renew memberships for these old people things that keep coming in, which means she hasn't renewed them, which means Eileen is no longer with us, probably, right? Yeah. So I'm getting my mail the other day, and I take out like a regular envelope, like this.
Boom.
And it's just addressed to current resident, and then my address, and the name at the top, same last name as Eileen, but the name is
No way.
Nancy. So
Okay.
I see it, and I'm like, all right, Nancy's
Oh,
probably
shit.
trying to, figure out who took her old sister's place. Maybe she needs to get in touch with the manager. She doesn't know how. But I look at the thing and I can see a handwritten letter in there. I'm like, all right, this is something about our dead sister.
It's
Guaranteed, 100%. Like, I've never felt more confident
That's
about anything in my
crazy.
life
This is a
than
movie set
this
up right here.
envelope is about a dead sister, right? So, get back to my place, open the envelope. The handwritten letter falls out. And as you can see, there's a good amount here.
Oh my
Like,
God, it's a page. It's a
there's
page.
there's
God.
Nancy wrote a lot, right?
It's a page.
So
Type out that out,
that
that's
falls
two
out.
pages double spaced.
Yeah, so that falls out, but also falls out is a pamphlet. And I
Oh
read the
no.
pamphlet before I look at the letter. The
Oh no.
pamphlet at the top. Who really controls the world?
Is it Scientology? I'm gonna
Do you
lose my mind.
think it is God? Do you think it is humankind? Or is it someone else?
Okay, I'm
Yeah.
intrigued.
What?
I'm
Yeah.
intrigued.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. So, like,
So,
this is like a cult. Like, she wrote a handwritten letter that was like, I don't even know. I kind of like skim through it. Let's see. The world is so full of violence and suffering, blah, blah, blah,
usual cult
blah,
stuff.
blah. The Bible tells us not only who's responsible for all this chaos, but also the only one that can and will bring a solution. Interesting. Yeah. So her email's on here if we want to get in touch with her.
Oh yeah,
It's
we'll get her on the
there.
pod. We'll get her on the pod.
Let's
Wow, we'll get
get
her.
her on here,
We'll
dude.
interview her.
Yeah, dude.
Dude,
So
that'd be really
I was
funny.
shocked. Like I read that. I was like, dude, I gotta tell the boys about
That is
this. Like,
so
fucking
funny,
crazy.
dude. Oh my
It's
God.
comedy because you did the exact. This is like the start of your movie because you did the exact same thing as fucking Scott Pilgrim. That he just skimmed through an email, and next thing you know,
This
he's
is
attacked.
glory.
You're about to start getting attacked by some old people. Is
But
all
for
I'm saying. They're gonna be
real.
like, "You didn't get my message? You
They
didn't get the
think
letter?"
that they think that you're their next leader. Whoa! Never mind.
Eileen is
Honestly, it's
gone,
gonna be like
and
that episode
you.
of South Park, bro.
But dude, that's where I was like, maybe this is Eileen. Maybe this is just another name.
Oh, alias. An alias.
Hey, yeah. It's all a ploy.
Dude.
It's all a ploy.
Eileen equals Nancy. Nancy equals Eileen.
We'll
The
get them
dots are
both.
connecting. There's a red line right now between those two.
Yeah,
On
yeah,
the
yeah.
cork
We'll
board.
figure it out. We'll figure On
it
the
out.
cork board. On the cork board.
Yeah. What is the
There is a
cult
letter
called? What
line.
is the cult called? Can I ask? What is there like a
Oh, I
name of the
actually,
cult?
believe it or not, I did read through it.
Okay, good.
And it was not like a secret cult. It's one that we're probably all heard of. Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, let's go, baby. Let's go. We love the
What?
Jehovah's.
Yeah.
No
Classic
Christmas. No
Jehovah's.
Christmas, bro.
Dude. Classic for the audience at home. The pamphlet has the world in the palm of someone's hand,
Wow.
and it's very clearly
He's
made on
got the
word art.
whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his
Printed on a
hand.
library. I would bet good money that this was printed at a library and that it was
100%.
made on word art 2008 at like one of those big block computers.
Oh, yeah. They haven't changed. They haven't updated that in a while.
Jehovah's Witness. Jehovah's Witness.
It's a good cult, you know?
Good one. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 35mm Colonoscopy Podcast, the show where we go colon deep with our unfiltered takes on the movies we've been watching. My name is Spencer. As always, I'm joined by my main man, Giovanni. I'm also joined by my other good buddy, Aaron, whose favorite rapper is Too Short. Okay, you know, he's got, what, 25 albums?
What's
He's
wrong
got
with that?
some bangers in there.
What's
There's
wrong
got
with
to be
Too
some
Short?
bangers in there, dude. He was on the 2K soundtrack. He was there.
Which one?
He was there.
225,000
Which one?
albums. 225,000. Come on. Come on.
Man.
Oh my gosh.
Fellas, we are in for a treat today. Are we not? Are we not?
These are cookies and I'm eating them.
Absolutely.
That
Absolutely.
was helpful, Aaron. Thank you. Yes, today we are talking about a classic. We are going back almost 100 years. I think
Almost.
85,
Yeah.
86, somewhere around
Almost.
there. We're traveling back to the late 30s, a great era to some, to others, not so fun,
Not so fun.
for a Hitchcock film called The Lady Vanishes. Fellas, how are we feeling about this one?
I want to hear you guys' thoughts.
It's
I want to
awesome.
hear.
It's so good. It is unbelievably good. This might be one of my favorite movies we've covered on the podcast.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
I loved it. The concept in and of itself is fucking awesome. Like, dude, it's so good. Like, it's on and it's so funny because it's like the whole base concept is this lady has tea, or this young woman has tea with this old woman, right? And then everyone just lies to her and gaslights her about not seeing the woman. And that shit was so funny, dude. Oh my God, it's so good. Oh, and just like the classic, like, 'cause like obviously a lot of the actors are British, like are portraying British people. Like some of the lines, dude. Oh man,
Amazing.
it's so good. One of my favorite ones at the beginning of the movie was the two English gentlemen. You know the two.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The
Oh yeah.
dynamic duo.
Chachas and Chachas and whatever they got.
Yeah,
I
whatever.
remember the Charters.
But one of them said, "I'm hanged if I know." Like, so funny, dude. It's so British. It's so good, dude. The plot to this
Oh man.
movie is unbelievably funny. Like, it is awesome. And I wanted to open up before we get too deep into the movie. I want to ask you guys this. So the two gentlemen, the dynamic duo, as I will refer to them,
Sure.
is obsessed with cricket throughout this movie.
Oh yeah.
Do you guys know the rules of cricket? Like, if we watched a cricket game right now, would you be able to know like what's going on?
I have the vaguest idea only because John Boy
It's a
got
job,
into it.
yeah,
Yeah, I
dude.
only and I and even then I didn't I you know I should have gotten I should have kept up with those videos once he first started doing it, because those early ones he's really explaining it because he's learning it.
Yeah.
Now it's
He's
kind
an
of like a
expert.
common thing. It feels like, and I just don't get the rules still.
Yeah, I have a vague semblance of like the lines that it takes place within, and
Yeah.
the ball bounces before it gets to the paddle. I know that.
Well, no, to the sticks. I forget what they're called right now, but to like before they get to the sticks, Spencer. It doesn't need to bounce before it hits the bat or the
Oh.
paddle.
Yeah, so I don't know that much about cricket.
Okay, all right. I'm just
No,
curious.
no.
I'm just curious. You know, see if you guys keep up. No, it's just worse
Dude.
baseball. I know the rules. It's just worse baseball.
That would be a world where we just have infinite resources, it would be fun to like go to a pub and have fish and chips and watch a cricket match. It would
Why
be
can't we do
like
that? That
that would
sounds
be so
awesome.
fun.
That sounds
That sounds
awesome.
amazing.
The same approach that we would do like a pizza joint in a baseball game, like a
Yeah.
Michelangelo's
Yeah.
Yeah.
and pizza,
Yeah.
baseball, like to do that with like cricket and fish and chips, and you know, maybe like a pint of Guinness, and you're just like,
I'm there. We have the scarves.
Yes,
like we're doing the chants, but in the bar, like. Man, nobody is doing the chants. Like no one else cares about cricket, bro.
I would like to mention that they also dropped a great bit of baseball history. That when they were like shitting a little bit on baseball, and you know trying to prop up cricket, they mentioned that baseball used to be called
rounders. Yeah,
rounders, and like the British used to also play it as well.
They still play it actually. It's like it's like a schoolyard game now.
Yeah, just like a schoolyard thing, right? Yeah, rounders. And I was like, oh, and honestly, like 1930, this was, it must have been filmed. I mean, it released 1938, must have been filmed 1937 or something like that.
Yeah.
So this was like fucking, I want to say like 80 something years after the even inception of baseball. Yeah. And only like, I think maybe like 50 or something years since there's been a league of any sorts, period, from this point.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's like if baseball was fucking invented like what 50 years ago from now,
like the 1970s.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. That's crazy. Like, it's this.
It's
long.
A cultural phenomenon.
This came out the same year. The same year as fucking Wizard of Oz. Oh, or actually, Jesus. I think 1 year after.
Yeah, 1 year after. Yeah, Oz was 37, I think.
37. Yeah. Like that's crazy, but yeah. You said it. You guys said it. This is a fun time. This is just a great.
Oh, it's a great time. Yeah. I didn't know people could be this funny in like before 1950. I didn't know people could be this funny. I didn't know it was possible.
Man, Spence, I want to hear. I want to get some of your thoughts before we get to it.
Dude, I'm actually so happy Aaron said that because I had a specific thought that I wrote down during the movie, and as I was writing, I was like, dude, there's like an 80% chance like Gio and Aaron flame me for this, but like, I didn't. It never occurred to me that like guys were witty like back then. Like
I don't know.
They might as he was like flirting with her, I was like, this guy's pretty charming. Like, this guy's funny. Like he's making me laugh. And it's almost 100 years ago. Like in my head, like you'll see like if you're watching like history docs or you're listening to like grandparents, they're like, oh, your grandfather was such a charming and witty man, and in my head I'm like, there's like he would have no game. Like if I watched like a replay of like my great grandfather like flirting with my great grandmother by like early 20th century standards, in my head it's just, my dear dame, you look lovely this evening. Like it's just like,
why are they British?
Like, that's I don't know. All right,
everyone's British before 1950.
Yeah, everyone had everyone had the transatlantic accent. Actually,
pre World War I, we were all British. That's a fact.
That's just not true.
As the guy, I'm forgetting names, but as he was like chatting up the girl, I was like, this guy's pretty awesome. Like I
agree with you entirely with him. It makes me, because, like, I feel like as a culture, you kind of think about the older generation as, like, you know, not really with it, you know, for lack of a better term. But this movie just proves, like, they are funny. Like, people in the 30s were funny, and I just forget about that. It's easy to forget. But I understand that they could make, like, technically good movies back then. You know, you got, like, Frank Capra back then. You got fucking, you know, like shit like Citizen Kane that are good movies that have some comedic stuff in it that's like kind of funny, but this movie was really funny. It had me fucking dying. Yeah. Like there's so many good fucking just stuff. There's just so much good shit in this movie. It's like the brain surgeon was fucking hilarious, dude.
Oh yeah,
like bring in the comedy. So funny, dude. Oh man,
dude. There is a bit of that like we were watching it in the parlance of that time. So like this is, you know, a fun bit, and you watch it now, you're like, I'm pretty sure he just broke into her hotel room and is just refusing to leave.
No, but that's funny.
Actually a felony.
That's so funny.
That's funny, Aaron.
That's so hilarious.
Hilarious that she's not feeling safe in her own home.
Goes into her bathroom.
Yeah. He's putting his clothes on her bed. And he's just like, he takes off. You made
her knickers from the thing from the end of the bed.
Yeah. All because she made a totally valid noise complaint.
Like, no, wasn't valid. Let the man cook. Let him cook.
No!
Let him cook.
This is just what they did, I guess, at the time.
Look, he was preserving the culture, Spencer. I don't know if you understood that, but he was preserving the common man's culture. He was a gladiator for the common man.
No. I mean, truly. I think, honestly, and you guys bring up the point. I mean, I, of course, I picked this movie specifically because it's I was starting to go through all of Hitchcock's movies, or most of them. There's a couple I haven't hit, but I was going through them because they just put a collection of most of his films on the Criterion Channel.
Yep.
So I was like, oh, yes. And I knew Lady Vanishes was one of the, I think, two or three Hitchcocks that are on or in the Criterion Collection. Mm-hmm. So, and that was like ahead, you know, I'd start, you know, from the beginning, and I was just kind of working chronologically. So I was like, oh, let me just pick that. That's up ahead, yeah. Right? And as going through it and going up to this and then past, going through the whole thing, Hitchcock's movies are just feel incredibly modern, like super modern. That's what it is. Because, like, honestly, like, there is like a few big movies from that time that, like, I get that I've seen, or, like, you know, that you see, like, clips of or whatever. And it's like, it's not the same. It's not like we're talking different levels of filmmaking here. Honestly, this guy is just had it. There's a reason they call him one of the great. He's on that Mount Rushmore.
Oh, 100%.
There's a reason. His movies they feel so modern. All of these ones, they feel so modern.
Well, they feel timeless, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, even outside of being modern, they're just timeless. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, even something that you brought up earlier, Gio, the year before this was Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz looks like a movie that was made in the 30s, and it feels like a movie that was made in the 30s. Like, it's a great movie. It's a great picture. But, hey, it looks like it was made in the 30s. This... If you update everything and do the exact same movie, like, and shoot it on digital and everything, like, this movie looks like it could release tomorrow. Like, the concept, the way it's shot, like, everything is just so well done. Like, everything in it. I mean, like, we've been talking about the comedy so far, but even the performances are just so good. The main kind of guy, the savant guy.
Yeah.
Like, just... played so well. That actor did such a great job. I can't think of his name right now.
That was his breakout role.
No way.
That was his breakout role.
Crazy that is his first role. Yeah, that is so impressive to me. Huge role. Like, huge performance. Like, he plays like the aloof asshole, like, very well in the beginning of the movie, and then as it progresses, he plays the aloof, like, turned spy. You know what I mean? It's just awesome. Yeah. The scene where he forgets the song is so funny. It's like, this guy has been humming it for 6 days straight.
Yeah.
And he just forgets it. Like, that's so funny, dude. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. That character is awesome. The two main characters are so great.
Yeah. I'm going to pose a question to you two.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
Just thought of it, going off the top of the dome here. If you could, travel back in time. And you can be on either a Hitchcock movie set in the 30s or a Scorsese movie set in the 70s. So Scorsese's not at his peak yet. He's still putting some things together. Mm-hmm. But it's Mean Streets. It's Taxi Driver decade. Yeah. He's cooking a little bit.
Yeah.
Which way are you going?
Scorsese. No question.
That's hard.
Yeah, no question, Scorsese. Just because Hitchcock was notoriously, like... spiteful towards his actors. I can only assume crew as well.
Apparently he was super respectful and got along with the crew. I read that.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Crew is actually
cool. It's important, right?
Yeah. The crew is actually cool. The actors, 50-50.
Yeah, fuck the talent. Come on.
Am I right?
We all know that. I'd probably go Hitchcock just like to see. Yeah, like, honestly, not even because I'm like a huge Hitchcock fan. Probably more of a Scorsese fan, but just to see what it was like to make movies in the 30s, it sounds so interesting to me. Like, the 70s seems interesting too, but I feel like there's greater documentation of how films were made then, you know? Like, you have, like, behind-the-scenes shit at that time, you know? You have stuff like that. But I feel like in the 30s, there's a lot of books describing it, like, you know, like the Kubrick book, like, the main one that was written by, one of his, like, assistants... like, you know, describes like paths of glory and shit like that. But I feel like in the 30s, there wasn't any like behind the scenes. Like, you can't see exactly how they shot stuff. You know, it's kind of like a lost you know, like knowledge.
Yeah.
And I would just really, I'd be so interested to see.
That's fair.
Like, especially some of the shots in this movie, how they shot them. A couple of the window scenes where they go through the window. Crazy. How the fuck do you even do that back then? How do you think to do that? But yeah, no, I would definitely have to go Hitchcock just for the historical context.
That's fair.
That's a fair answer, Aaron. It truly is. I think the thought of being in like a warm winter jacket on like a kind of chilly March morning with like a too small cup of coffee that's got some steam coming off it on like a New York street while Scorsese's directing De Niro.
Yeah.
I don't think I can pass on that. Yeah. I gotta be there for it. That's fair. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Plus but, I feel like, you know, I feel like you can hold an easy conversation with Marty. Right, like,
oh yeah.
Money. If I'm on the set I'm on Hitchcock's set, there's no way I'm getting near that fucker. Right, like, there's just no way I'm getting to get, you know, and not that he would want me near, right, you know. But Marty, I feel like you can just start up a little convo. Maybe Bobby, you know, when he's not doing a scene, am I right?
As maybe smoke Bob. A cigarette with him, you know.
Right.
Wow. You know? Yeah. You and the boys. Yeah.
Have a cigar. Yeah,
this movie was awesome. This was a very fun time. Very great paced. We just covered a movie that was not so greatly paced. This is a nice, tight 1:40. Keeps it moving. Keeps it brisk. Yeah. I think we're out of the hotel and onto the train around the 30-minute mark, I want to say, is where that went down. Uh-huh. So it's really like you're keeping it moving. Like, anything more than that 30 minutes in the hotel is too much.
No, too much.
Cut off right when they needed to. Felt great. Felt awesome. Performances are amazing. You touched on it in the beginning, Aaron, how this movie is basically a woman loses a friend and everybody is just like, no, you didn't.
Nah.
You
guess didn't. Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. That's
don't remember seeing it.
I do have to say, my favorite one, just the idea that the two guys were like, we were deep in crickets. And the rest of them were like, that makes sense. Like, they didn't even question. They're like, The idea that they had a conversation and could not remember if another person was part of it because they were so focused on cricket, and the rest of the train's like, I kind of get that, though. That makes sense. I've been that deep in cricket.
That's the comedy.
Cricket's interesting.
I was laughing so hard.
This is the comedy. I mean, I feel like we can almost basically just go through this movie kind of like beat by beat, like from the beginning. Because this is, again, like you said, like this is just so tightly paced. I mean, Alfred Hitchcock, this is in his first rodeo, but by this time, he's a master for a reason. Honestly, that's, like you said, like the setup in the hotel, fantastic. You meet all the characters in the best way possible. You meet Charters and the other guy, the two British dudes.
Yep.
You meet those guys. You meet the girl. And her friends, of course, but they don't end up being characters. Anyways, her. And then the fucking the concierge guy, like his whole like demeanor, like that adds to it, right? This whole setup, and then perfectly incorporates the old lady, and then the music guy that ends up being like the main person.
Yeah.
All these people are so seamlessly like, I guess, introduced, you know, and in the best way possible, because, again, we hear the great dialogue between the two British dudes. Like, honestly, I think one of the first things that they said was, I think you guys remember this joke. I don't know if you guys wrote this down, but it was the Hungarian national anthem joke.
Yep.
The setup for that, immaculate. Because he's like, the other guy was like, oh, this is just like that time where you made me stand up for the Hungarian national anthem or whatever. And he was like, well, you have to be respectful. So, blah, blah. and he was like, well, how was I supposed to know it was 20 minutes? And then he was like, and then the other guy was like, well, yes, you did. We were also the only ones standing. And well, yes, of course. But
we were the only ones standing.
That was just hilarious. There were so many other jokes after that. Do you guys remember the phone call joke where he was like,
awesome.
Where he got the guy on London, like from London, like, cricket, sir, cricket. No, you don't know. We'll find out. Oh, and then he just like,
and then he slams it down.
And then he slams, it wasn't even his call, slams it down, and he calls him an ignoramus.
Dude, insane, one, those guys, then they had another one where the maid is with them, And oh, the guy yeah. goes, I wish we had one of each.
Yeah, yeah.
A room apiece, I mean.
Dude, that's the fucking, that's what I'm talking about. It's like, it's perfect setups for the comedy. Like, they are fucking, they are on, they're playing 3D chess with the comedy.
Here. Yeah.
Great jokes. Yeah. Great jokes. There's no, there isn't a single ounce of fat on that joke. If you took one word out of it, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
That's a great joke.
Yeah, I agree.
Perfect. 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 Yeah, no. And, dude. And yeah. And again, I think visually, this just looks fantastic
yeah.
as well. Just again, I think we talk about it looking modern, but it just flows really well. It just looks great. Everything's set up perfect. Everything like, I don't know. It's so
no, and
just so smooth.
We were kind of talking about like setups and like not even in reference to like jokes and stuff like that. The setups for like the main plot points being discovered, right? They don't make a big deal at first that that older woman is gone. What is her name? Froy? What is it?
Froy.
Yeah, Froy. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, they don't make a big deal that she's gone at first. Like, it's literally just like, oh, where's that lady that I was talking to? Nowadays, it would have been a fucking zoom in on the girl's face. It would have been a sound cue. It would have been her looking like, and gasping or something. Like, it would have been fucking something stupid like that. But no, they just keep it fucking tight, and it's just, like, there's no, again, like, kind of what Spencer said, no fat to this movie at all. We kind of talked about that a lot with movies where a lot of, like, pacing problems and stuff. We just talked about it with another movie. But you know, there's no fat on this movie at all. There's nothing that I can think that like doesn't need to be in the movie. You know,
not a single line.
No,
not a single line. Even the fucking because that reminded me. Even the fucking the small like little tiny scene where the two British dudes get dressed, they come down, and there's no food. They sit with Miss Froy, so they meet her, and there's no food, and even that's not a throwaway because they have just the fucking greatest, like, not, I guess not necessarily throwaway line, but a greatest, like, quote here is just, I think it was from Miss Froy because the British guy was saying, like, oh, because she was saying how great the country is, blah, blah. And then the British guy was like, oh, well, yeah, you know, it doesn't show in their politics or whatever, blah, blah. And then Miss Froy, fucking banger of a line, says, I don't think you should ever judge a nation by its politics. After all, we English are quite honest by nature, aren't we? Boom, banger, period. Leaves, gets up, leaves. Leaves them with fucking butter to eat.
And cheese.
Legend. Legend.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. Dude, it was... And I'll lean more on Aaron for how they did this, but the train moving was incredibly realistic. And not just there are a few shots they went to where it's like the hanging on the train kind of move.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not just those, but like when they're sitting in the cart just having a conversation over a meal and it's moving in the background, it looked flawless. Flawless. Yeah. Modern.
Uh-huh.
You're telling me. No, I mean, that's kind of what I was talking about earlier with wanting to see, Alfred Hitchcock in this time. Because, like, shit, I don't know how they filmed that. Like a lot of times...
I couldn't figure it out.
A lot of times in movies, like, you know, like lesser budget movies that we watch, right? I could tell you how to shoot something, right? Like, I might not be exactly on point with all the technical aspects that they use to fucking get this shot. But I can give you a pretty goddamn good idea of how shit's shot. But here, I got nothing. Like, I don't know how, like, literally the only thing I can think of, right, is, like, splicing in the fucking, like, another, like, film stock into, like, the already existing film stock. That's literally the only thing I can think of. And you know how fucking long that would have taken? Like, it would have been insane. I really just don't know how they got... like this good of shots, and like maybe this can lead into my what's it called? Let me send you guys because this is actually a really good segue. So it's the scene, kind of the like what you don't really realize is the precipice of the entire plot of the movie is the initial scene with the main character woman and Froy. And they're sitting at the you know, getting their tea. Miss Froy gives them the tea and stuff, but you see the train moving in the background. And it looks insane. Like, it literally looks like he's just filming on a train. But obviously, you know, lighting-wise and, like, aperture and shit like that, you're not going to get that kind of shot without, you know, doing some special stuff. But yeah, no, just expertly done. I think that is that's the theme of what I'm trying to say with like the cinematography and all the aspects, is that this movie is expertly done. Like everything from character blocking to the music and how it's used in scenes, to like the plot structure, to the dialogue, to the cinematography, like everything, it just like everything has its like individual place and it's just positioned perfectly. It's so good.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about amazing cinematography. Oh, yeah. Even the way the camera moves, very dynamic. Like,
so good.
Trending, it was like in that opening scene. You've got the hotel attendant that's like very like on. He's on the phone, like talking, whatever. And then it kind of like, whoosh, like it yeah. moves forward and pans to like the next mm-hmm. couple that's having a mm-hmm. discussion. Yep. Not anything crazy by like today's standards, but doing that, like moving around, like yeah, it's awesome. Like it wasn't just like. We didn't put a cast of actors on a soundstage and set up a camera and say, act. Exactly. Because, like, so much of, like, early film is, like, we're doing a play, but we have a camera now. So now mm-hmm. we're just recording a play. Yeah. That wasn't here at all.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Well, actually, I think that goes back to, I think, the main source of that, of course, being Hitchcock. But I think his, I guess, not maybe not whole advantage, but, like, where... I think a lot of this comes out from him is the fact that he started off in the industry. He started off in the silent movie era. Like, he was making silent mm-hmm. movies, right? And even mm-hmm. before that, he was working on them, right? Before he could even direct. And then by the time he directed, he directed, like, a bunch of silent movies. And then it all transitioned into, like, talkies or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
you know, we see all this. So I feel like what comes out of that, or, like, the skill that comes out of that for him, which gives him maybe an advantage over others that didn't do that, was that he has an intense, I guess, eye for visual language and telling a story completely through just visual means without words, right? Like, I think that's where a lot of that comes from. Like, I feel like you can almost turn off this, like, you could just mute this movie and you would get like about at least 85% of it, if not 90%. Just like looking at what they're doing, right? Obviously, you're not going to hear, like, the quick wit, but blah, blah, blah. But you're going to get what's going on, like, no question. And
yeah.
he just has that eye for visuals, again, going to the cinematography, setting things up, how people look, and then also just when things happen. So, like, when they board the train after she gets hit on the head and she's, like, looking at her friends as, like, the train starts moving and then she starts getting dizzy and she's about to faint and, like, that whole effect... That was fantastic. That was really great, really excellent. Just like coming up with that, I have no idea how they did that. I know they used like a lot of rear screen projection for like other shots.
Yeah.
For like outside, but like that shot, I have no idea. I don't even know how you do that. Like at that point.
No.
At,
yeah. I time. Mean.
But
it's...
yeah, I think that's just what he just has a great sense of visual language. Like. Yeah.
Totally. That was actually another one of the scenes that I had picked, like, because I take a couple different, like, shots of the movie for the slap shot. That was another one where it's, like, like you have, like, three of the same image, you know, kind of like the classic, like, someone gets hit in the head, and then, like, you know, like, the stars spin around them, yeah. and then they're like, how many of these can you see? Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, that's a kaleidoscope effect. I mean, again, how you do that in 1938, I don't know. But I can do it pretty easily on Premiere now. But hey, you know, what? But fuck, Alfred Hitchcock does it, you know, 100 years before me. So, you know.
Yeah, no fucking clue.
It's just impressive. All the technical aspects, especially it being the 30s, like, it's just so impressive. Every time I watch a movie that's good from this era, because obviously, like, there's movies like Citizen Kane I kind of referenced earlier, where it's like, you know, It's a forefather of movies, and you should watch it if you want, like, the historical context. Boring movie, though. Like, you know, like, you don't want to... You're not going to throw on fucking Citizen Kane to fucking relax on the weekend. No. You're going to throw this to relax on the weekend, though.
Like, yeah.
For the love of... Dude, this movie's awesome. So good.
It has it all.
Yeah, it does. It really does. It has every aspect that you would want out of, like, a... Like, if I was going to the movies, like, and I had never seen a talkie before, you know, in 1938... This would be the movie that got me into fucking movies back then, you know? I'd have been like, wow,
your mind.
No, this would make me lose my shit. You gotta remember, the light bulb was invented like 40 years before this. Like, dude, this is This is crazy. You, like, presumably, somebody could have had, like, electricity in their house for the first time. Actually, like, they might not even still have electricity in their house, like, fully functioning electricity other than lights. But they can go see this movie? Like, that's wild. That's fucking crazy.
Dude, the, like, how exponential human achievement is now compared to what it used to be is so funny. Like, to go from light bulb to motion pictures with sound in 40 years, when we at one point had, like, we came up with a wheel, and then hundreds of years later, we're like, what if we had, like, four of them? You know, and we put something on it. Like, that gap to, like, the gaps now.
Is like, great. We just, we used wheelbarrows for a long time.
Yeah.
Too long, if you ask me, am I right?
Yeah. We've had it too good for too long. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, well, we've covered technical aspects of the film. Yep. We've covered how sneaky funny this film is. Let's get into the story aspect here. The mystery unfurls quite well. Like, they're really, like, taking the layers apart. I feel like they took them apart at the right pacing and at the right times, and that it was the right amount of layers. It wasn't like, here's another twist, and but it also wasn't, all right, we did two things, and now we figured it out. Let's get out of here. Like, it was a nice multi-dimensional story that was fun to figure out. A lot, you know, some twists, some turns here and there, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe a little over the top. She ends up being, like, a spy, and he's also a spy, and I don't know.
The perfect over-the-topness.
Yep.
Perfect. Perfect. Beautiful. No, you said it. I mean, as a great man once said, onions have layers, right? And this is just like an onion, okay? This is just like an onion. Has layers. And Hitchcock, he's that guy. He's peeling them back. Just nice and slow, nice and easy. And he starts speeding it up, blah, blah. That's whole setup in the hotel. Perfect. Introduced to all the characters. You get great comedy, blah, blah, blah. Good looking shots. And you introduce the story. Then transition into the train scene. You set up your problem, blah, blah, blah. And now Freud's gone. Now you have a great, like, chunk of just like, oh, wait, where did she go? Why are people gaslighting her? Oh, what the fuck? This couple is lying to her now? Why did they lie? Oh, it's because of this, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, oh, the British dudes are lying, blah, blah, blah. And then they, like, realize it's the people in the car, blah, blah, blah. They go into that whole other cart with, like, the magic guy's stuff where they end up fighting him. Mm-hmm. That ends up being, like, this whole slapstick kind of moment randomly, out of nowhere. And then after that, it starts picking up. The fucking brain surgeon, right, he comes in.
Yep.
And it's all just picking up slowly but surely and just getting faster and faster and just expertly. He's balancing it all, all the way to a fucking final shootout, from the train of these people. He's bringing action. He's keeping the comedy because there's some great lines in here. I don't know if you guys heard that fucking early Christians line. That was comedy. It was one of the British guys he mentioned to the judge. That was, you know, cheating with that one lady, and he said because he had a gun, and he said, "Oh, I don't want to use it. I don't believe in fighting." And the British guy's like, "Oh, pacifist, eh? Won't work. Early Christians tried it, and they got thrown to the lions, or something like that." Anyways, he's balancing this comedy along with increasing action and tension and suspense, right? Plus payoff, just continuously throughout the movie. And even in that scene, he still takes it further because he doesn't stop with, like, oh, they just get away as soon as, like, they get to the front of the train, right? Because someone else could have easily said that, like, oh, yeah, shootout, blah, blah, something happens, right? And then they just pull off. You don't see how they got away. He still keeps it going. They fucking do, like, a chase. They do a whole chase. And they're at the front of the train. Shots are firing, blah, blah, blah. And they finally get away, and it's, like, you know, over the hill at the end. And it's still yet another twist. It's, like, because the girl ends up choosing the guy. It's still yet another, like, not a twist, but, like, another, like, big, like, another thing for the audience that, like, feels good. And and then the fucking forgetting, the final joke of, like, forgetting.
She's no longer a blue-blooded Czech chaser.
No.
Right, Gio?
No longer.
Those days are behind her.
No longer. No more she blue thought she did it all.
Check chasing.
She thought she did it all. She ate sausages on the docks, you know.
She did it.
Played darts with the rural dean, right?
She went to con. She was at con.
She ate caviar at con. Yeah, please, I understand Spencer, that. Please. She did it all. She did it all.
At that That's gonna be second. All right, so now it's gonna be we're gonna do fish and chips with a Guinness at a pub in London while cheering on a cricket team.
Boom.
Right after that, caviar con in tuxedos.
Boom. Yep. Back to back. And then you know what? Add on to that, we gotta call up the rural dean, and we gotta play darts with him. Yep. We gotta play darts with the rural dean.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
Call him up.
Yeah.
We'll get sausages at the docks, and we'll make it a time.
Yeah. Gio, all the things you brought up as you basically just told the story of the movie was the cast of characters on that train is such a hilarious 30s plot of like, all right, there's a train. We're going to have a brain surgeon, obviously. There's going to happen to be a brain surgeon on the train. We're going to have a magician. Every train, there's so many magicians these days. They're always on trains.
Always.
Number one. Like, yes. Number one.
Just the fact that like, a train is going to have lawyers, accountants, teachers. Like, everybody's going to have the same kind of insurance. Like, if you get on a train now that has both a brain surgeon and a magician on it, you're on the craziest train in the world at that moment. 100%.
No question.
100%.
No question.
Yeah.
Not to mention an old lady secret spy. An old lady secret spy.
Yeah. Or a brain surgeon doubling as a fucking spy.
As a double agent. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Well, fellas, we've been talking about the Lady Vanishes for a good chunk of time here. A chunk of time that we're almost out of. So we can go ahead and transition to our final thoughts. Mr. Aaron, you want to get us started there?
Yeah, I'll start us off. Like I said, this is probably top five movies that like I've found from the podcast, you know? I think the comedy just all works. Everything about it works. You know, like me and Gio were talking about earlier, just a timeless feel to the comedy, the plot structure, everything. I mean, and it's noticed because they've made like three different remakes of this movie, which is, you know, which is crazy. There's like a 70s remake, 90s remake. I wouldn't be surprised if there's another one in our midst coming up. But yeah, no, it's just an excellent movie. You know, it just goes to show like how impressive like 30s filmmaking was. You know, you forget. You know, a lot of the times that 100 years ago we were making movies, like, fuck, dude, that's crazy. Like, this is a 100-year-old industry, but it feels so like new. You know, it feels like filmmaking is such a new concept, like such a novel concept. But I mean, we've been making movies for over 100 fucking years now. It's crazy. And it's crazy to see a movie like this that can connect with, you know, adult me in 2024. That was made by someone in the 1930s, like the 1930s. Like, that's just crazy. This movie was made during World War II. Like that. Like, think about that.
Before
for a minute.
This was before.
Yeah, this is pre. This is pre World War II, dude. Like, that is crazy, crazy. But anyway,
it was,
My rating. This is a 10 out of 10. A 10 out of 10 fucking movie right here. This is beautiful, beautiful filmmaking. This is why I love movies.
Very fair. Yeah. No, I get it. Like, I had that same kind of love of filmmaking feel while I was watching it. It is crazy that we're watching and talking about a movie that was made by a guy that was born in the 1800s.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of wild. It's an amazing movie. It's funny. It's tightly paced. It's brisk. A ton of historical significance to it if you love movies and you're passionate about that art form. So, really cool to experience. I am curious, Gio, to hear where it ranks among your Hitchcock, since you've been doing such a deep Hitchcock dive. So I'll keep an ear out for that, because this one seemed very good. I liked it. We've kind of talked about it. We're like, if you're grading this like as a filmmaking scale, it's a 10 out of 10. But we've had 10s where it's like, I understand how amazing this is. It doesn't like grip me or whatnot. So this kind of falls into that for me. So my rating is an 8.5 out of 10. Personally, but I'm very glad that I saw it. I liked it. I would recommend it, and I would watch it again.
Nice, beautiful. I mean, what else is there to say? Honestly, this is just a total blast. A fantastic, quick-witted, comic thriller. Like, it has everything that you want in a movie, truly. And it's all spun by the webmaster himself, Alfred Hitchcock. There is a reason that they call him, that he is commonly referred to as one of, if not the greatest director of all time. And it's for a reason, because this isn't the only one. You know, he's got hits. He's got Psycho. North by Northwest, Rear Window, Vertigo. I mean, the list goes on. Foreign Correspondent, 39 Set. This guy is just has bangers after bangers after bangers. And this, honestly, for me, ranks as like as basically his best. It's coming. It's either this or Psycho for me. I have Psycho over it. On it, that's one of those movies that like, it's a classic for a reason. You see it, yeah. It's a classic for a reason. It's just no way around it. But then it's this. Truly, this is just a masterclass of everything that was great for him. And this was, rightfully so, the movie that broke him out of just being a British director and into big like American attention and glory, so to speak. And then after this, he ended up moving across the sea to do all those other movies. But yeah, this is just fantastic time. I mean, everything about this is great. I think I've already watched it twice, like this movie, because I love it. It's so much fun. It's just a blast. I think for me, this would probably be a 9 out of 10. There, like you said, like the 10 out of 10 technically, of course, but there's maybe something, there's some sort of X factor that, you know, what you can never put your finger on it. Not saying you know, it's fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but maybe there was, I don't know, compared to other stuff, you know. Anyways, this is amazing.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
No,
true.
Beautifully said, a beautiful movie, and thank you for listening, everybody. We hope you enjoyed it. Till the next time, I'm Spencer.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Gio.
And this has been the 35mm Colonoscopy Podcast, telling you that if a million Mexicans drink it, you should probably give it a shot. It's probably pretty good. Mm-hmm. And of course, please join us next week for Princess Mononoke.